You're listening to the New Churches Podcast, a production of Send Network on newchurches.com. We discuss all things church planning. If you're looking to take your next strategic step towards multiplication, you're in the right place. newchurches.com has a new look, a new host, and new resources. Take a minute and check out the Church Planning Masterclass with lessons from leaders like Matt Chandler, D.A. Horton, Trillia Newbell, and more at newchurches.com.
Welcome to the New Churches Podcast. My name's Clint Clifton, and today we're going to talk about getting serious about getting healthy. And we're going to talk with the guy I know in church planting who is most equipped to talk about this subject. His name's Noah Oldham, and Noah's the founding pastor of August Gate Church in St. Louis, Missouri. He's also the senior director of church planting deployment at the North American Mission Board. He's responsible for getting church planters equipped and out there on the field. He's passionate about fitness and nutrition, and today we're going to hear about how there was a huge change in his life in that regard, his mindset in that regard. So he's passionate about it, and he's passionate about reading, and he's also passionate about his beard. He's got a beautiful beard. And so Noah and his wife, Heather, they have five children, and they live right there in St. Louis where they minister. And I'm really excited to get into this conversation with Noah. Noah Oldham, welcome to the New Churches Podcast.
Thanks for having me, Clint. Great to be here.
I know. I feel like you should be interviewing me, or we should be back and forth because you've been doing the We Are Sin Network podcast for so long.
Oh, man, that's been a lot of fun. A lot of fun.
I know. I was sad to see it wrap up, but excited to have you here today.
Yeah, man. Great to be part.
Yeah. So, Noah, we've known each other for a while. We've been colleagues here working at NAM. We bump into each other a few times a year as we come through. And one big change happened in your life a few years ago.
Yeah.
You showed up and you were half the man you used to be. Maybe not half, but
yeah, but
you'd lost a lot of weight.
Yeah.
And I remember just asking you, like, what in the heck's going on, man? What's going on? Yeah. So today I want to talk about that. That was years ago.
Yeah.
You've made what seems like a pretty permanent change in your life.
Yeah.
Usually when I see a friend that loses weight, or when I've lost weight myself, I'm very skeptical about how long it's going to last.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
And so I want to talk about that because health for a church planter, both spiritually and physically, is such a key part of the work that we do. I mean, it's critically intertwined in the work we do. So I just wanted to talk to you a little bit about that. So tell us how that came about and what happened in your life.
Yeah, so I found myself in 2017, the unhealthiest I'd ever been, the heaviest I had been. I was hurt. I was on medication for cholesterol. And in the midst of this church planting journey that was just stealing, I felt like, a lot of things from me.
Right.
I was living my life up to the margins, in some ways beyond. That summer, I was trying to coach my son's Little League baseball team. I knew I needed to make a change when I couldn't even teach them how to run through first base because I was so out of shape and my back hurt so bad from a fitness injury. I was trying to get in shape and I hurt myself.
Uh-huh.
And I just went to my wife and said, something's got to change.
Yeah.
And she kind of gave me permission, in a sense, to whatever it takes, do whatever you need to do. We'll spend the money. We'll invest whatever we need to do to do that. And I did. I found a personal trainer online who works with pastors. And man, he set me on a trajectory, and I've not looked back.
Yeah. So you found a personal trainer that works with pastors. That's a very specific thing.
Yeah.
So why was that important to you, to find a trainer that worked with pastors?
Well, it wasn't really at that point. I actually stumbled upon it. I saw Mac Lake, of all people, who, like, if you know Mac Lake, the dude's in good shape.
Yeah.
And he had a shirt on that said pastorfit.com. And I'm like, what's that? And so I looked it up, and I read the dude's story. His name's Greg Oraham. He's a pastor from South Carolina. And it just had a button there to ask more or to sign up, and I did.
Uh-huh.
And I just kind of kept taking the steps that were in front of me, feeling this nudge and this momentum of something's got to change. Yeah, that was it.
Yeah. And so how – I'm sure if you're like me, I've struggled with weight my whole life too.
Yeah.
And if you're like me, you have – you know, prior to being fruitful and successful in this journey, you had many, many failures in front of you.
Yeah.
So what felt different about this time than the previous times?
Yeah. So I was a college athlete. I played college football, and I was in decent shape in high school and college to play sports. But church planting just became everything my life was about. It was ministry. I was pouring out for everybody else. I was worried about all these other things. And I had done the yo-yo thing. I got a Fitbit, lost 10 pounds, and then I gained it all back, right. On and on and on. What was different about this is I knew that something had to change for two reasons. Number one, my dad had had a heart attack recently, and the doctor said, hey, all you guys get checked, all your boys. I have two brothers, so all three of us got checked. We had hereditary high cholesterol, and I was recently on medication for that at that time. And I'd asked my doctor how long I need to be on this. He said, you'll probably be on it the rest of your life.
Yeah.
And I began to look up statistics about heart disease. And I had a certain percentage to die of heart disease. And then my medication they were giving me to prevent heart disease had a certain percentage to cause diabetes, which then leads to heart disease. I was like, I'm going to die from this either way.
Right.
And something just clicked in my soul that I got it. Something has to change. It has to be now.
Yeah.
It's never going to get easier. And so I made that decision then, and I told Greg, I'm a really good Pharisee, so give me rules, and I will do it. Tell me what to eat, what not to eat, how to move, and I'll do it. And the support system around me, my wife was amazing to walk with me in it, help cook meals, to get the things we needed in the house and out of the house, and it stuck. And the thing that I learned more than anything, it's not about changing your diet and exercise. People think that's what it is.
Yeah.
You have to change your discipline.
Yeah.
If you don't change your discipline, diet and exercise will come right back.
Right.
And so I had to change that third aspect. I had to say, my discipline has to change moving forward.
Yeah. So the journey for you has gone on. You've continued to develop in your coaching others now, and you've even got certified. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So I got into this about a year. I'd lost 63 pounds. I had gotten into better shape as a 36, 37-year-old than I was when I was in college playing football, able to do more and run more, and just everything was better. And Greg, as he was training me, got to the point, he's like, man, I don't think you need my help anymore, but you really seem to have a knack for it. I was loving to study things, getting into CrossFit culture, listening to podcasts, reading books. He said, I think you should get certified and you should work with me.
Yeah.
And we could double our efforts to work with pastors. And I thought, man, yes, I want to do that.
Yeah.
Now, my wife asked me, when are you going to find the time for that? Like, what are you going to give up? And I was like, I don't know. And so it really became a labor of love, one of the ways that I unplug from the rest of the stuff that I'm doing to walk in discipleship with other men, to help them find a similar kind of freedom that I found. And so a year after I began my journey, I got certified, and I've been certified now for 3.5, almost 4 years.
Yeah.
And I've worked with almost 70 clients, whether it's 6 weeks and a group coaching or one-on-one, some of them for a couple of years, and just seen varied level success. But every guy who's poured effort into it has gotten something in return.
Yeah. So talk to the guy right now who's listening to this, and on the physical side of things, and we're going to talk about the connectivity between spiritual and physical in just a minute, but on the physical side of things, who just has not been able to get a handle on things, and just maybe a direct encouragement for them about what to do, first steps to take.
Yeah. I think the first steps is really coming to grips with what's going on. I had to read a book that changed my mind. Mm-hmm. It was called Breaking the Stronghold of Food by Michael L. Brown, because I think that gluttony or overeating or whatever you want to call it is one of those polite sins that we don't talk a whole lot about. And we don't realize the control that it has over us. Recently, I was preaching a message from 2 Timothy, and Paul says to Timothy, in the last days, things are going to get really tough. And he gives this huge list of reasons why, the kind of people that people will become, even in the church. And he says that they're without self-control. Mm. And that word without self-control is the same word that's often translated as incontinent, that they can't control their bodily functions. Yeah. And what I realized is when it comes down to health, and we all need to realize it's either an issue of care or control. Mm. Either I don't care or I can't control myself. Mm. Well, if it's no longer that I don't care because I do care, then it's an issue of control. If it's an issue of control, why does it have control? Is it because we're not looking at it as a sin or as a stronghold or as an area of weakness in our life that we need more than just, I got to work harder to do better? We need the literal, the miraculous grace of God to do a work in us.
Right.
And that's what I saw happen in my life. Really, the grace of God trained me to say no to myself and say yes to Him and new paths that He had for me. So I'd say to a guy, acknowledge exactly what it is. Be honest. I mean, Clint, honestly, every client that I've worked with, as we dig down deep, especially one-on-one, they all end up crying.
Yeah.
Because it gets to a point where they're like, this is deeper than I knew.
Yeah.
And I've got to deal with peeling back some of these layers and dealing with the heartache underneath some of this stuff.
Yeah. Sounds like the ABCs of the gospel going on here. Admit.
That's right.
What do I have to believe now?
That's right. Exactly. And getting into that. And once we finally do realize I've not been given a spirit of fear, but of power and love and self-discipline, that because of the gospel, I can have control. What I've found is, and we talk about that spiritual connection, that often the physical is just a manifestation of another area of our life that's probably just as messy, just as sloppy, just as unmonitored maybe.
Yeah.
I think a lot of us, it's not that we just don't care. It's unmonitored.
Yeah.
We're monitoring so many other things that we don't look at this one until too late.
Yeah, that's so good. So continuing on the conversation about the physical and the spiritual, how did you see the change in your life physically affect your spiritual life and your spiritual, everything from your affections to your output?
Yeah, I saw a number of things. One, I saw that I loved satisfaction and instant gratification more than I thought that I did.
Yeah.
I leaned on it. I found myself when I was no longer in these patterns, realizing what I was doing. So for instance, it's a story I like to tell. Sunday night, a lot of times I would come home after a long day. Some weeks in the season of Life of Our Church, I preach three sermons, have a meeting in between, all day long, just pouring out for the sake of Jesus, for the glory of God and the joy of His church. I'd come home and I'd eat an entire frozen pizza. I'm not talking one of those old Tony's ones. It's like 300 calories. I'm talking like a frozen pizza, no caloric value at all. It is no nutritional value, just high calorie. And I would almost tell myself without saying it, I deserve this.
Yeah,
I deserve this. And sometimes on top of that, a bowl of cereal or a bowl of ice cream and just veg out comfort food.
Yeah.
I realized when I no longer did that, that I didn't need to. And all of a sudden it was, but how do I unwind, or how do I reward myself, or how do I feel appreciation?
Celebrate.
I realized
how do I celebrate?
These areas that were missing in my life, that I needed to stop looking to other things. I needed to look to the Lord.
Mm.
That I didn't do this to tell myself I deserve this. I did this for the glory of Jesus. Now all of a sudden I had to come to grips with, but what if Jesus doesn't tell me that day, well done?
Yeah.
I've got to run to Him and say, God, am I finding my satisfaction in the wrong things? And so what it did, Clint, is it showed me areas of brokenness that I was hiding with food and comfort and laziness and all these other things.
Yeah, man, that's so helpful. I also recently went through, in the last year and a half or so, went through a weight loss season. I went to a professional and paid an absurd amount of money to have them, you know, meet with me every week and tell me exactly what to eat. And it worked. We lost a lot of weight and we've come off of that relationship with that professional, getting kind of to the end of the line. And I find that slowly my weight's ticking back up again. And I'm just like, man, I'm on this roller coaster again. And so I know that there are lots of, you probably remember a few years ago around, we work with pastors all the time in the work that we do. And we had, you know, a conversation around here about our profession being particularly unhealthy compared to other professions. Do you remember anything about that?
I do remember that conversation. Absolutely.
Summarize it, what you can remember.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that has almost become the caricature for the pastor, is that he's the guy that spends a lot of time talking with people, loving people, and going to a lot of potlucks.
Yeah.
We sit down for most of our work and study.
Yeah.
We sit down for most of our meetings with other people. We're always surrounding food, especially Baptist. It's the fried chicken and all of that. And all of a sudden, we become a caricature.
Yeah.
And then we start talking about, we want to raise up church planters. We want to raise up pastors. We want to look to the marketplace and not just other guys who have felt this calling since they were young.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, we're reaching into this pool of men who say, I don't know that I want to be a pastor.
Mm-hmm.
One of the reasons why is because they've lost a lot of respect.
Yeah.
Because they're not the guy that say that well, he's exemplary.
Right.
He's the kind of guy that I want to be.
Right.
Now, I don't think he has to go to the other end where it's this full-on machismo thing of like the warrior king only. He's got to do CrossFit three times a day and never own shirts. That's not what we're talking about. but at the same time, I realized I'm getting up every day. It had nothing to do with like health and physique and how much you can bench press. I'm getting up every day. And I'm preaching a message to people that because Jesus died and He rose again, you can change and everything can be made new.
Mm-hmm.
And then I wasn't seeing it manifested in areas of my life.
Yeah.
If it wasn't manifesting in my marriage, someone would say something.
Yeah.
If it wasn't manifesting in my my walk with my kids or my tongue or any other area, somebody would say something. But because it's not manifesting in my diet and exercise, no one wants to touch it.
Yeah.
And I think we're doing one another as brothers, as pastors, a disservice.
Yeah.
Because if we're both struggling with our health, we should be able to come to each other and say, how do we do this together? How do we lock arms for one another?
Right. Have you had an instance in your development of other pastors where you've had to address an issue of physical health with somebody that wasn't coming to you for advice?
I have over the years. And to be honest, those conversations never really go very well.
Yeah. Because it feels like such a personal space.
It is. It feels like a personal space, almost asking them about how they're spending their money.
Yeah.
How much do you make? And what are you spending it on?
Yeah.
And like those kinds of things. Generally, it's this feeling of, hey, that kind of feels off limits, but I know that I need to change. And there's an initial conversation. But what I found, Clint, is it's like we do in pastoring. Most of the time, the rebuke at first hurts, but it's only when somebody receives it and they internalize it, is there any kind of change?
Yeah.
Because I'd heard it from other people, and there were a number of instances before I saw my transition in 2017 that there were moments of shame.
Mm-hmm.
I would see somebody I hadn't seen in a couple of years, and they would be like, hey, man, you've gained a lot of weight.
Yeah.
Be like, whoa, like, you don't say that to somebody, but yeah. They
don't
did.
Don't you know that's rude?
Yeah, and those kinds of things, but it would spark something in me, but it really wasn't until I grabbed a hold of not the shame-inducing, but the I want my life to matter more than this.
Right.
It was those kinds of things. And so when I do coaching with guys, I always ask them, what's your why?
Yeah.
And we make a list of all the whys. What are the things that you want to get healthy for? And we usually whittle it down to two or three things that we continue to bring up as they kind of fall off the wagon and things come back into old habits. Say, hey, this is what you said. And it always gets them back on track.
Yeah. So for the guy who's listening to this today and he's interested in trying to take some of those steps, maybe he's feeling invigorated by the new year, or maybe this is just a rightly timed conversation. Is Pastor Fit a place they should go, or where would you send them?
It absolutely is. You can go to pastorfit.com and Greg receives all of that and filters that and gets guys applied appropriately. I would say also there's a number of different ways for you to do that. I would encourage guys to check out CrossFit.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why it is a little more expensive is because it's community-based.
Yeah.
You're with people of all shapes and sizes, all different ability levels, and there's this sense of community.
Yeah.
What I've found is the guys that I work with, they may struggle for 3 weeks if we don't talk like over the holidays, because they got busy, that's when they struggle. They don't struggle when they have accountability. CrossFit gives you accountability more than once a week, but multiple times a week. And it has everything you need right there in the gym. Here's what I would say to a guy. You've got to be willing and be ready to make a big change.
Yeah.
To truly say something's going to be different.
Yeah.
And here's the biggest challenge I would say to somebody. You have to come to the point where you're going to say, I'm not this kind of person anymore.
Yeah.
Like I always ask my clients, hey, do you smoke crack?
Yeah.
And they're like, no. I'm like, have you ever? And some of them have, right? They got a past. Like, no, I don't smoke crack. Why not? Like, I'm not the kind of person who smokes crack is what it comes down to. You have to become the kind of person that doesn't eat dessert after every meal.
Yeah.
I'm not the kind of person that eats bread when I go out to dinner. Mm-hmm. I'm not the kind of person that eats more than one bag of or one a plate of chips at the Mexican restaurant. You have to become the kind of person you set these standards for yourself and you just don't budge.
Yeah.
We find it really easy to fall into those things with everything else besides nutrition and fitness.
Yeah, so true. That's so true. Let's talk about the respectability factor.
Yeah.
Because as pastors, we don't like to think about this, but we are models. By becoming a pastor, you're saying, my life is a life worth emulating.
Yeah.
And you're standing in front of people every day. And there's something to be said. I pastor a church full of Marines.
Wow.
And imagine how intimidating that is.
Goodness gracious.
And you know, I honestly think, if I'm just being totally honest, I believe that, you know, our church probably would have grown faster earlier on had I been respectable in my physical. And in that time when the church was just getting planted was the most I had thrown off the reserves in terms of, because, you know, there's every reason. You're broke, so you can only eat cheap food.
That's right.
Your time is maxed out. You're stressed to the max.
Yeah.
And I'm just essentially eating McDonald's, you know, all the time.
Yeah.
And it was a season of my life where I all I need to do is press harder, go faster, eat cheaper food, so I could get more done and have more money.
Yeah.
But really, in the same way, I think I was undermining the ability for young Marines who might have respected me spiritually or what I knew about the word or how I could help them grow in their faith.
Yeah.
But it was undermined. So what thoughts do you have about that?
Yeah, a couple things. I think for one, you know, I don't know who said it, but they said it better than I ever could of we are not the experts. We're just fellow beggars helping other people know where to find bread. There's something to be said about that. Mm. But I think there comes a point where people do look and say, hey, I get that. You're just a fellow beggar, but you're also someone who's selling me bread.
Yeah.
You're selling me something. And are you selling what you're, are you buying what you're selling?
Yeah.
And so I think there's a level of that. Again, I think it comes down to a couple things. So it comes to doctrinal bent. Like there are some people who they love brother so-and-so who's that pastor, and they know we've all got our areas and that's just his area, but he blesses me in all these other ways. He serves me. I think that in the church planting game, a church that wants to multiply, a big part of that is you have to be able to attract the kind of people who are going to be able to go on and do the thing you're calling them to do.
Yeah.
And that's often what you're going to do.
Right.
And if I want to attract disciplined, ready, capable, sacrificial men, I got to show myself to be that. And there was just an area of my life that wasn't showing that.
Yeah.
Now there is. But on the other side, I have to be careful. I don't become the guy who's graceless and so hyper-disciplined that I'm no joy to be around.
Right.
Because I don't want to reproduce that either.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is a super relevant conversation for virtually every church planner I know, because if you don't struggle with your weight or your physical health and you are out there exercising, then you certainly have somebody on your team or around you. You're constantly going to be ministering to people who this is a huge part of our society and culture.
Yeah.
And you know, as a group of people who don't go to the bottle when, you know, as pastors, when we have problems, food is it is a ready escape for a lot of that stuff, just like you explained earlier. One more thing I want to touch on just real quickly. If you're in the South, and there may be some other areas, I grew up in the South, and there's a culture in the South that actually, you know, I think I grew up kind of thinking that people who exercised and cared about their physical health I looked down on them.
Yeah.
You know, it was like culturally, you just, like the gym was not something people did. That was something weird people did, you know?
Yeah.
And it was sort of expected. Everybody's a little overweight and it's just, that's the way it is and it's okay. And so I know it's different in different places. And certainly as you get toward urban centers, it's like that. But if you're in a place, where everybody around you, you know, is just feeding that, you got any advice for a person who's surrounded by a bunch of people in their family and in their oikos and their immediate vicinity that really don't value physical health? How would they kind of get that sort of accountability in their life?
Yeah, so I would say it in a similar way. I've done this with a number of guys because a lot of clients that I work with are actually pastors from the South.
Right.
And what it keeps coming up is I was doing well until I went to a family event or a church event. And the sweet old ladies in the church were like, oh, we cooked all this food special for you, brother. And, you know, you need to eat it. Feels bad about that. I would say in a similar way as when you're spending time with your lost friends.
Yeah.
You want to be on their terms, in their area. You want to love them. Just because somebody places fried chicken in front of you doesn't mean you have to eat the whole thing and go back for seconds. Just because they give you a piece of pie doesn't mean you have to eat the whole thing or back for seconds.
Yeah.
It's what do? You enjoy what you can, and then you say no to what you can't. And I think you've got to create your own standard before you go into things. So when I travel, I always have food in my bag.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if I'm going to have a healthy lunch somewhere.
Right.
So if I don't, I'll eat what I can there. I eat maybe some green beans or a little bit of salad, and then I know that I've got a protein source out in my bag if I need that.
Yeah.
Now, I don't break it out in front of everybody every time. Be like, look at me. I'm virtue signaling. I'm healthier than all of you. That's what people don't want to do. They want to be able to participate. And so go participate.
Yeah.
Just like if you're going to the bar to spend time with that guy and you drink a Diet Coke, like you participated by sitting there with him in his space, but you didn't have to take all the steps he did to be there with him.
No, that's so good and so helpful, man. Thank you. You're inspirational to watch you have gone through this area of your life. And thanks for sharing so openly with the folks who are listening.
I hope it's helpful.
You've been listening to the New Churches Podcast, brought to you by Send Network. If you liked what you heard, take a minute to rate and review us, or share this episode with a friend. It's the best way to show your support. To find more reliable resources and to participate in the Church Planning Masterclass, visit newchurches.com.